This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew.
Try this
beef stew.
Try this
beef stew.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a show, another great show. This is Big Stu. You know, this is your man DJ Big Stu on Beef Stu Radio. Got my partner in crime by my side, the Capper.
Oh, yes. What's going on?
We got a great, sensational guest on our show today. You know, this lady, you know, she's wrote a beautiful book. It's called A Globalization of Love. We have Miss Wendy Williams on the show. I'm pronouncing your last name right? Williams, right?
Yes, that's it. That's me.
Okay. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. I think Capper's doing great.
We're cold. We're cold over here. I don't know how.
Yeah, we're cold. What's the weather where you at?
It's also fairly cold. I'm in Vienna, Austria. But the main thing now is not so much the cold, but the time of day, because it's 11:30 p.m., I believe, in New York, so it's 5:30 in the morning in Vienna.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
We're sorry for keeping you up this early. But, you know, we're going to get into your book. First thing I want to ask you, because when I was reading your book, I read a little part in there where you said you are a proud, self-proclaimed control freak. I had to ask you that because that you know, it had me laughing. So I had to start the interview with that one.
Well, I think that most book authors are, to a certain degree, control freaks. You know, you have to have a lot of discipline to write a book, and part of that is having the need to control things around you. And I guess I have a young daughter, so I can't control very much in my life, but I guess when I sit down at the computer, that's the one time where I can control the words that go on the page, at least.
So do you consider yourself an expert on multicultural romance and marriage?
It's an interesting question. I'm not a couples therapist or a marriage therapist or a counselor. I'm not a psychologist or anything like that. I wrote a book about multicultural marriages. I've lived in one myself for 13 years. And then I, you know, in the process of writing the book, to a certain degree, I did become an expert. I interviewed dozens of couples from all over the world. And, of course, I read extensively. So in the process of writing the book, I became a certain type of expert, and that I declare myself an expert on global relationships, globalization of love relationships, and really in looking at the relationship from a more humorous perspective and trying to have a little bit of fun with it. So in that sense, I'm an expert. Indeed, yes, I'm a GLOLO expert.
And yeah, and you know, because also in your book, you go back also to like Shakespeare and to the time in the 1600s and said that's actually when it, your term I think is GLOLO.
Yes.
The GLOLO movement. Is that what I'm saying it right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you know, explain to everybody what's the movement and you know what's that about.
Well, what I claim in the globalization of love is that multicultural relationships, as you say, started centuries ago, and it's not really something that is particularly new. You know, when explorers were going around the world, certainly they were hooking up with some very exotic women. I'm sure they might not have logged that in their diaries, of course. Because they were on a paid business trip. But, you know, I think Marco Polo was probably a pretty sexy guy. And but really, since the process of globalization has started, particularly in the past 20 years, when it has intensified, the multicultural relationships are simply on the rise. And society has changed a lot. Society is much more open than it used to be. So there are a lot more interfaith relationships, biracial relationships, and international relationships. So all of these different things are combining together, and there are definitely more multicultural relationships now than ever, and it's simply becoming something that is very normal.
And you also stated that, you know, back up until like 1967, you know, stuff like this was illegal, you know. And I found that kind of be deep, you know. Like people actually was going to jail or worse, you know, up until 1967, right?
Yes, the 1967 is a reference to the Virginia versus Loving ruling, and I'm sure a lot of Americans know about this, that up until that point, biracial relationships were actually illegal in many of the American states. And it took a very brave couple who married in the state of Virginia, were then tried and found guilty of a crime of having a biracial relationship or marriage. And they then actually took it to the Supreme Court of the United States, and then the ruling was overruled by the national courts and as a violation of the Constitution of the United States. So it's true. Up until that point in United States history, biracial relationships were something that were very unusual and sometimes illegal. So that was since then, of course, it's been much easier. But you see it as well even in movies, how infrequently there are biracial relationships. And I think it was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which
yeah.
was in 1968, was it, or 1969?
Yeah, Sidney Poitier, right?
Right, yes. and then that was the first time that a biracial relationship was actually discussed openly within the plot of the movie. So that was also an important step. And one thing that I mentioned in my book, which I just love, is that Star Trek had the first biracial kiss on national television, and that was also during this time period in the late 60s. And apparently it was quite a sensation.
I didn't realize that.
You can go on to YouTube and hear them talking about it, and apparently it was the one episode of Star Trek that attracted the most fan mail of all time, at least during that decade, because it was such a sensation to have a biracial kiss on national television.
Was it Captain Kirk kissing Uhura?
Exactly, that's the one, yeah.
Everybody.
Did you see it, Did you see it, Cap?
No, but who didn't want to kiss Uhura?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't care. You don't have to be green.
So now, give us the 10 top clues that you are in a glow-low relationship.
Do you have a copy of my book in front of you? Because maybe you can read the top 10 clues better than
I can. Well, I don't have the book right in front of me actually right now, but, you know, I've read it and I found that, you know, like you said, humorous and interesting. So I wanted to come from, you know, your point. You know, I wanted to hear you say it to the public.
Okay. Where is my copy here?
Well, give us your favorite ones.
I think I even listed it as number one. I mean, one of the top 10 clues is that when you're singing the tune to your favorite childhood TV show,
mm-hmm.
your partner has no idea what you're talking about, you know, or what you're singing about, because they've never heard it before. I also like the one that that when there's a World Series sports event coming up, and it's in a sport that you've never heard of before. Because, you know, of course, in America, it's all about football and baseball. In Canada, it's all about hockey.
Mm-hmm.
But in India, for example, it's all about cricket. You know, and a lot of people don't even know what cricket is.
Yeah, I do.
Or
I mean, I've
rugby.
Seen it, but I wouldn't know how to play it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, there are so many more. Another one is about food. You know, if you, I think I write you, when you come home and your kitchen smells like the Tandoori Kitchen, and you're strictly a meat and potatoes kind of guy.
You also say that, you know, you should learn your spouse's language.
Yes.
So that means if a girl meet, you know, I'm from Harlem, right? I don't mean Onyx, right? And a lot in Harlem we speak Ubonic. So if I marry somebody from Austria, she should learn Ubonic, right? She should learn the hood language, right?
Yeah, you know, she should learn the basics of it. And the reason why is that language, it really forms the way that you think. And sometimes the way you use words, expressions. Oh, you know what, guys? How embarrassing. I've got a crying toddler in the background.
That's all right.
How's that for live radio? Hello. Oh, hi, everyone. This is Kate. Good morning. Okay, Mom. I'm just on the radio right now. There we go. Sorry about that.
That's your co-author.
The language issue. The language really forms the way people think. And so if you learn even just the basics of your partner's language, it helps you to understand the way they're using the language and the expression sometimes. And, you know, so sometimes things come out that sound different than what they're intended. And if you have the basic structure of your partner's language, you can at least ask them, you know, is that what you really wanted to say? So it will avoid a lot of sometimes confusion. So I do recommend it. Yeah.
So on the way to church is a fast track decision, you know, on the way to church, to the wedding, to the altar, so to speak.
Yes. Yes.
In a multicultural relationship is a fast track decision.
It's a decision of necessity usually. In the case with international marriages, then often one partner is living outside of their own country, or in order for the couple to get together and to be living within the same country, they need some kind of residence permit or visa. And hence a lot of multicultural couples end up getting married, making the decision to get married very quickly, simply so that they can be in the same country together. And, you know, because they don't often have this option of, well, let's, you know, go to a movie and have dinner a couple of times and see if we really like each other. They kind of have to figure that out right at the beginning of the relationship and make their commitment and get married in order to be together. So as a result, you have a lot of international couples marrying very, very quickly.
So what's the percentage of the divorce rate in a multicultural, you know, marriage?
You know, that's such a good question. I don't have the answer to that. I wish I did, because I've read that it's actually higher than in monocultural relationships, because the differences are sometimes awkward and simply difficult to overcome. But on the other hand, I've also read that the divorce rate is lower. And the reason why is, for example, that if a couple has to move to a different country just to be together, there's a higher commitment level on both parts. You know, the person who has moved to the new country doesn't have an easy exit strategy. And then the person who has moved in their spouse or imported their spouse has a higher commitment, because they say, well, I can't just leave this marriage. You know, they've traveled halfway around the world to be with me, so we better hang in there. So it is, it's an open question right now, and I certainly would invite researchers to look into it further, because I'd love to know myself what the real answer is.
So spontaneous and untypical behavior is common. Explain that.
You've read my book thoroughly.
Yes, I've been waiting for you.
Well, this, when I talk about the profile of a typical person in a multicultural relationship, the one thing that comes out is they don't tend to be spontaneous or reckless people in general. However, because of this necessity to fast-track their decision-making when they need an international partner, they end up you know, simply deciding to marry somebody very quickly and pushing through the process often, you know, within less than 6 months. And I find it a little bit ironic that, you know, for people who claim not to be that spontaneous, the one thing they do in life is, you know, they don't go out and get a crazy tattoo or a radical haircut. They go and marry a foreigner, you know, very quickly. That's why I claim that they are more spontaneous simply because they have to push through the decision on the marriage.
Okay, let's deal with religion now. Let's talk about the religion factor when there's two different religions. What's the best way? What would you advise, you know, somebody, you know, in that situation? Because you must have been for 13 years, you must have had a few of these situations that you wrote about happen to yourself, or you've been through them,
yes.
You know, personally.
Of course, yes. Well, an interfaith relationship is very interesting. I mean, the number one recommendation that I have for couples is to, and not just with the religious issue, but within the issue, is to sit down at the beginning of the relationship and really try to determine what are the important issues or what are the main differences between us. Because we all, you know, we know how similar we are and how we're soulmates and we have such a great laugh together, and I'm not even going to talk about the sex. But it's more difficult to determine what are the differences and how fundamental are these differences. Because people change over time, and sometimes what is very typical is when with the religious issue is that people may be fairly non-religious or very passive about their religion up until the point when children come along. And then suddenly they think, oh, well, I want my child to have the same religious upbringing as I do, and this may come as a surprise to couples. So it's important for them to start projecting ahead and at the beginning of the relationship saying, okay, well, if we do have two fundamentally different religions or even variations on a similar religion, even if it's not important to us today, how will we deal with it in the future? How can you envision that happening, particularly in the context of children? But also another sort of more gruesome aspect of that is in death, because death is another time when religion creates stronger feelings in individuals. So it's also, as gruesome as it sounds, it's also very important to kind of prepare for that natural exit strategy and make sure that there is a common understanding of how that event in life is going to be dealt with so that there's not discord with the family.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Miss Wendy Williams on Beef Stew Radio. It's your boy DJ Big Stew with my cousin, the Kappa. We in the building. We're talking about the globalization of love. I don't know if it's my speaker. I had to cut. But I think you have your speakers on too, because I think we're getting a little feedback from somewhere.
Okay, sorry about that. I'll try to adjust the settings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all right. Because it's real interesting. Now we you know, because I had a whole list of things for you now, you know, because you had said, you also said, you know, it makes the stakes higher. You kind of explained that to me. And now, how big is this trend? Like, how big is it?
This is a great question that I don't have a solid answer to. What I've read and the one number that I kind of hang on to the most within the United States is 14%. Apparently 14% of all new marriages that are happening right now are multicultural. Now, I always qualify this by asking the question, how do you define multicultural? And is it's often just a focus on one of the many issues, so interfaith marriages or biracial marriages, but it does not consider other types or the other issues in multiculturalism, such as international or ethnicity and language and so on. So there's no one easy statistic. But if we can live with some vagueness, then about 14%.
So what made you write this book? What made you decide I want to write a book about globalization of love?
Different issues. But I would say that the main one is just the recognition that there are a lot of issues within a multicultural relationship that we don't even, you know, sometimes we don't even recognize, even people within the multicultural relationship. And I have a lot of girlfriends that also have multicultural relationships. And sometimes when we're sitting around together drinking wine and chatting about our husbands, I sort of recognized there were some common themes amongst the different national mixes. So it didn't really matter if it was Canada, Austria, or any other sort of multicultural constellation. There seemed to be some very specific issues that we all face. And those are more or less covered in the chapters of the book, so something like food or religion or holidays and vacations. And then I saw as well that depending on the particular cultural mix of the couple, they may have their own specific set of issues. And you know, I think the best way to mull through these issues is with a lot of humor. And these things kind of combine together, and I thought, you know, this would be a really nice book for other multicultural couples and for their families to kind of understand what we're going through and how we're forging the path, you know, for world peace right in our own in our own households. There we go.
Well, you've been through it yourself, like you said. Go ahead, Cap. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Ms. DJ Big Stu. I just want to say, I don't know if I can call it dating, but I had a brief fling with an Austrian woman. This was several years ago. I was helping out in a film project. You know, and after we had a couple of beers I know Austria is big, but I don't remember her name, but if somehow you run across a girl who was in a film school in New York City, tell her I said hello.
I'm sure she'll be the
sure. You have to excuse my partner sometimes. You know, I don't never know what he's going to say. You know, I'd be just as shocked as the guest that be on my show. So.
But let me give a description. She was beautiful, slim, but she had an enormous head, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. It was beautiful, but it was a rather large cranium. So if you see this beautiful woman with a large cranium, please.
I'll keep an eye out for her.
So this is your first book.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And you actually released it on your anniversary.
Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah.
How did that feel?
It was lovely. It was my husband and I actually married on Friday the 13th, so we're obviously not that superstitious. And then when I saw the publication date for this book, it was also on November 13th, which was our 13th wedding anniversary. So I thought that was kind of fun, kind of a nice bit of serendipity.
Sure. Well, you know, I want to definitely thank you for, you know, being on our show. You definitely enlightened us. It's a good book. Can you tell people where they can get your book at?
Yes, it's available, of course, on Amazon.com and on Barnes & Noble. The name of the book is The Globalization of Love, and it's important for American listeners to know that I spelled globalization with an S. That's the British English spelling for it. You can also find out a little bit more about me and the book on my website, which is globalizationoflove.com. My email is there as well. It's wendy@globalizationoflove.com, and I'm certainly happy to hear from readers if they have any questions.
I'll just interject one more time. I'm sorry.
I don't know what he's going to say.
No, this is what I appreciate about the book, because she's very specific on multiculturalism. Because here in the United States, especially in our inner cities, I just want to say to all the listeners, because we have a lot of African American, Puerto Rican, Dominican listeners, you are not in an interracial relationship. If you're an African American and you're dating a Puerto Rican, you're in a multicultural relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You're not.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I just want to clarify it because we get a lot of our Puerto Rican and Dominican brothers and sisters, and, you know, they think they're a different race, and African Americans be like, no, Puerto Ricans are not. No, it's different cultures. So, you know, I just want to throw that out there. Just education 101 from Kappa. Thank you.
Okay.
Well,
thank you for that.
Well, once again, we want to thank Dr., right? That's what it is, right? It's Dr. Wendy Williams, isn't it?
Yes, yes, I have a doctor title. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we want to thank Dr. Wendy Williams for coming on our show and enlightening us, and we'd love to have you again.
I'd love to be here. Thanks so much. Your questions were great. It was really enjoyable. Thanks for your patience with the extra guest who walked in the door 10 minutes ago.
That's all right. That's all right. Quite all right.
The unexpected guest.
All right. So thank you. And once again, we'll stay in touch.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Wendy Williams, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, Cap, now, you had to bring up that big head girl from overseas, man. What made you bring that up, man?
Because she's in Austria.
She's
in Austria.
I don't know. It just seemed like, you know, you can't get the big head girl out your mind. That's kind of
no,
funny, right? Can't
well,
get the big head girl out your mind. I don't know. I'm just
yeah, there's no room for the big head girl in my mind. She would fill it up. You know? But, you know,
her head was
I
that
mean,
big?
Yo,
so you was in a
big,
multicultural relationship.
She had to like wash her face with a blanket. That's how big her head was. I'm just saying though. I'm not saying
so how you
that
walking on the street,
she wasn't unattractive. She was attractive, but her head was huge.
How could a girl be attractive with a big head, son? I never seen that, yo. She's had a
I'm
big
telling
butt.
You, man.
That's all it is, right?
That's
had a big
the
butt.
Enigma.
Now I seen that before.
That's the enigma of this girl.
Well, I seen a girl with a big head and a big butt, but, you know, that don't make her attractive. It just means she was a big head girl with a big butt. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, she just had a big, pretty face.
A big, pretty face? I'd be scared of a big, pretty face. You know what I'm saying? Midgets be having big, pretty faces.
I won't go into everything else because, you know, we're on radio. But...
All right,
now
I want to ask you the question because you said that. You shouldn't have said that. Because now I want to ask you, you said you don't want to go into everything else. We need to go into it because the big face, come on, brothers out there want to know. There's a bunch of brothers out there that might want to go find them a big head Austrian woman, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, a big head. Let's just say there's more uses for that head than thinking. I'll leave it at that.
All right. No, all right. Now, is it household?
I think
uses?
I'm clear.
Like, is she cracking nuts, you know, on the table or
well,
banging nails in the
maybe
in
not
the
on the table, maybe under the table.
I'm trying to be nice to what I'm saying. You know, I was trying to talk.
No, I'm saying under the table, not on the table.
Under the. But her big head fit under the table.
I mean, the table kind of, you know, stuff fell off. Like we had the. The vase with the fake flowers in it,
yeah,
knocked that all over, just broke it.
Wow, man. Well, yo, you know, Cap, you know, we got a lot of new programs coming on our station now. You know, we got a few new personalities. Come Friday,
yeah.
We got Miss Kay Nicole and Ladies Night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she'll
that's
be doing
be
her
crazy.
Thing. Yeah, that's going to be crazy because they're going to be woman bashing and, you know how she is. You know,
she's
not. Man bashing. I said it wrong. But you know, they trying to play like she ain't trying to come on the set and do that to us, Cap. But you know her just like I know her.
Oh yeah, I might have to join in from time to time. We might have to come on as guests and defend the man race.
You should have seen what she was trying to make her intro song. It speaks for itself, you know.
Uh-oh.
But tomorrow night, we got a great show. We got Kev's Get His Cook On and my man Drinks on Russ. We got Taste of Hip Hop Cooking going down tonight, tomorrow night, 11:30 p.m. I'll be on the ones and twos behind the scene with that.
All right. That's what's up, man. He going to throw some recipes in there for us or what?
Yeah, he said he got some recipes. He got he's going to have his recipes, and they're going to be bringing on drinks, and they're going to be doing a little bit of both, and then throwing a little music. He's trying to break it down. He's going to show you the music you're supposed to have, the hip hop music you're supposed to have with the hip hop meal and the drink, and he's kind of crazy. Kev, get his cook on. He's a crazy guy himself, so that and Russ is not that far from behind him. So it's gonna be a crazy show. I'm looking forward to being on the Wheels of Steel tomorrow, man. Also,
yeah, I'm looking forward as well, man. I'll be there.
Yeah, and I know you're gonna be doing something soon. I know you got a surprise for us. I'm understanding.
Yeah. I don't want to let it out the bag yet, but it's gonna be crazy, man. You think
everybody
big
around the station
is crazy? Then wait till you hear the show.
Yeah, because everybody around the station running around talking about Kappa's going to be bugging out, man. Kappa got his show that's going to be on Wednesdays. It's going to be, I'll just wait to see it. You know what I'm saying? Also, we got RJ Dapper coming to the station, with the GME.
Okay.
And RJ, that's the reincarnation of Frankie Crocker back in the building.
Yeah.
RJ is going to be a treat. RJ is going to play a different. He's going to bring a different type of element to Beast Through Radio because RJ is going to play music. Top 40, Billboard. Where I might go a little underground hip hop. Che Nicole may party. Taste the Hip Hop Cooker speaks for itself and. We don't know what you're going to do yet because you haven't told us, so we don't know.
Yeah, I'll reveal it once I find the big head Austrian.
So, we got a full lineup, I will be on this Thursday with the Thursday mix, I got Tebow for No Limit coming on, Cap, he's on the mixtape, he's also on my mixtape, I got him on that song Dummy Shit with Tone Stance and Will Porter.
Alright.
So, we doing our thing, man, I think we blowing up,
Yeah, man, we're just going to keep building.
Yeah, we got a couple of more people. We got a couple of more people that's going to be coming out the woodworks, but we'll talk about it in the near future. But once again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another great, great night of BeefStewRadio.com. It's your boy, Big Stew. Right by my side is the family member, The Capper.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing our thing, next Monday. I think we got Mr. John Phillips or something, right? He's going to be talking about the Detroit riots and all that stuff. He wrote a book, man. So, how me and Kappa do. We keep the compelling conversation going on.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're going to go out there and try to find this big head Austrian girl for my cuz. And we'll see y'all. I'll see y'all tomorrow night on the Taste of Hip Hop Cooking Show. I'll be on the ones and twos. Make sure y'all tune in for that. And I just want to say good night, Cap. You got anything you want to say to the people before we roll up out of here, man? Look for that big head Austrian girl, man.
All I want to say is big head Austrian females are gorgeous.
I want to say good night, y'all. We out.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew.
Cap. Kappa. Yo.